Blog Talk Radio.
Renee, we're back on the air. We had some technical difficulties. Hopefully we won't get cut off again.
Thank you, Lord, for that. I was wondering what was going on. I was just saying to Stan, I said, the devil know he's mad on tonight for the whole system to shut down like that. But
so
I thank
Brandon
God for the
back
penalty.
On right now.
Yeah.
Brandon's
come on,
back on
Minister
line.
Brandon.
Hello?
Go ahead, Minister Brandon. Do what you was doing.
I'm not sure where I let off, but, just a reminder that it's important for us to daily study the Word and to pray and to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and know ultimately that our validation comes from God. It's not by anything that man would do, because some men will reject you, not just people who we think of as the world, you know, not just non-believers, but even sometimes people in the church will end up rejecting us, as in the case of Paul, as they were rejected from people in the synagogues and even from the leaders and the scribes, that you can be rejected from them also. And understanding that they're also a part of the world. Many times we think the world is simply those who consider the lost sinners, but that also includes those who come against the calling that God has over our lives. And we understand that they can end up lost too, because as the Bible reminds us, that not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so we ourselves want to make sure that we're not being people who are standing in the way of God's calling for someone else's life, as well as realizing that our value comes from God. And even I can testify that last year I even had three people on separate occasions validate a calling that God had over my life, as far as the ministry of reconciliation and whatnot. And he had sent, one was another spiritual mother of mine in the Wisconsin area, where she kind of let me know that some of the things that God has called me to do. And another one was at a young adult service where a guest speaker had came in and kind of spoke something into my life. And then a third one was when I was at a Costco gas station and a lady from South Africa kind of, out of the blue just said, God and basically was encouraging me of something that God had called me to do. And so we have to realize that our validation has to come from God, and at the same time realize that we can't allow ourselves to also become arrogant for that either. We have to humble ourselves and take it in humility. And that's all I have, Apostle. That's all I have, Minister Sylvia.
Thank God for, just like you said, knowing when you've been validated by God, and just know that God is God, and when God has an assignment on your life and for your life, you have to make sure that that God has assigned you, because if He did, He's equipped you to do whatever He's called you to do. So I'm just thanking God for you acknowledging that you can't do anything without God, and everything that you do must be God-led. So, therefore, I want to know, anybody have any questions for Minister Brandon before we move on to part two of this fifth Monday night, because we're dedicating it to knowing the calling on your life that Minister Brandon Kaiser has brought forth, and we're going to go into the next statement of when you have a call in your life. So the lines are open. Can we make sure the lines are open, Minister Brandon, so if anyone have any questions or want to make statements?
Good evening, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Hi, this is Auntie. I am Sheila Kaiser. I just wanted to thank him and thank the Lord for blessing him with the knowledge and the willpower and the wants to be of the man, of God, of his word, and to go under his hand and not following as a lot of these young men are doing now in the street. I just wanted to thank Minister Brandon for acknowledging that God has something for him and is willing to do and to say and to talk as the Lord put it into his mouth. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Sister Sheila Auntie, to Brandon Kaiser. Is there anyone else that has something they would like to say to Minister Brandon Kaiser?
Minister Brandon, this is Stanley, right? Whichever way the Lord is sending you, don't hesitate. Just march forward. Be strong. Be humble. Be faithful. Because always remember, God's plan is not your plan. So whatever he got for you, it's going to be all right, my brother. So just march on and just thank God every day and be blessed. And I think you'll be okay.
Thank you, Minister.
Well, Minister Kaiser, I got something to say. I have something to say that a lot of people use another way. All I'm going to say is OG. No matter what happens, OG, OG, and OG. Obey God, obey God, and obey God.
Thank you, Apostle Alexa Kaiser, for those comments. Minister Brandon, is there anyone else that would like to speak into Minister Brandon's life on tonight? Okay, Minister Brandon, I would like to thank you for taking the time out and just know that everything and anything that you do, make sure that you are led by God, you're following the Spirit of God, and that you acknowledge everything is about God's will. And I would like to find out, is there anything else you would like to say, Brandon, Mr. Brandon, before we go to the next statement, I mean segment of this program?
Nothing else.
Well, okay, will you be listening in for a continuation of the program or what?
Yes, I'll be listening.
Okay, because at the end of the next segment, I would like to ask you to pray us out. So what we're going to do now is go on to the next segment of this program, which I'm going to be calling upon Minister Stanley Wright. He's going to talk about some things that's on his heart and mind, and I'm going to let him tell you what it's about. Okay, so with no further delays or interruptions, here is Stanley Wright, Minister Stanley Wright.
Thank you, Sister Minister Sylvia. Thank you very much. I just want to speak to everybody tonight. Just about a few things. It's just sad being an African-American man and seeing how our mothers and grandparents and everybody raised our children and raised their families. You know, it was how strong we was and we had faith and grandmama used to pray for us and stuff like that. And it's not rampant in the community anymore. You know what I'm saying? You can go into the church. Now the church is all women, no men, and the boys is in the street walking around with their pants down and all kind of stuff like that. It's just sad, you know, and I just can't take it no more. You know what I mean? I want to say something. I want to do something about it. I know I'm just one person, one man, but it just tears my heart up because I wasn't raised like that, and the average black male wasn't raised like that, but I know the devil is busy. You know, he doesn't rest. You know what I'm saying? And I think we all should try to let's do something about it. You know what I'm saying? If we just, everything starts at home. I mean, that's the way I was raised. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, if I get out of order, you know, and, you know, I had a punishment coming or my dad has chastised me, he'll talk to me or whatever. But sometimes in today's family or society, the male role is absent. They in jail, deceased, they not around anymore. So basically the streets is raising our children. You know what I'm saying? And the devil is loving it. I mean, he's just having a field day with it, you know, because the kids' eyes is open, but they're still blind. They can't see, you know. So we need to do something about it as men. You know, we all always talking about, well, we should do this, we should do that, we should do this. But what's the solution? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, it's just little things that just been on my mind. I just wanted to speak about it and hopefully somebody could call in and give me some insights and or whatever. But I'm willing to do whatever I need to do to try to help somebody raise their children or help them raise their children. But I need to start with my own. I need to start with my family. I can't go to another household and try to tell somebody how to raise their children, and my household is out of order. And that's why I like that scripture about Ecclesiastes 3, chapter 3, verse 1, when it says everything, there's a season and a time and the way and the purpose, and it goes from 1 through 12. I mean, it just talks about everything. Everything has a direct order, and that order came from God. You know, that's why I used to, when I was raised up, I used to see men standing on the corner, but they used to try to dress young, and they looked it out of order. You know, that wasn't the proper order for a black man. You know what I'm saying? I used to see him with older men and younger women. That didn't look right. So everything has its order, you know, male, female. You know, all this comes from God. But now everything is so deranged and crazy and mixed up and switched up. Children raising them now, they don't know anything about order, you know. And who's raising the children? That's the thing. You got the media. You got these streets. You got the friends, you got the bad guys, and, you know, it's just sad. I mean, I understand how it starts, but what does it stop? And the only person to stop it is God. So that's the kind of stuff that I've been thinking about, and hopefully we could come up with some type of solution on this blog talk, and people could come in and give me some type of insights. And, I mean, I'm willing to do what I need to do as a black man. You know, and that's what I was telling my wife about, you know. So I didn't have a lot to say, but I just wanted to say something, you know. So that's all I got to say, baby.
Okay, thank you for that. I know that a lot of times we have to understand that a lot of kids these days are not raised with the fear of God in them. We were raised with the fear of God in us, where our mother taught us that Exodus 20 and 12 talked about the first promise that God gave children to honor their mother and their fathers. And our mother also taught us about how our ministry starts at home. And a lot of times when you say that to people, they think about it at their address. For example, our address is 3511. So my mother taught us that home was not just in your, it didn't say in your house. It said ministry starts at home. So home is your family, whether it's a cousin, a niece, a nephew, a grandchild, or whatever. And until we stop being scared to open our mouths and say, you know, that's not how we were, the Word of God told us to live. You know, it teaches us about self-respect. It teaches us about the respect of the mother and the father. It teaches us not how to not look upon your mom, your dad. It even goes as far as to teach in Leviticus how not to look upon your aunties, your uncles, your sisters, your brothers. The Word of God, it taught us a lot. You know, I remember growing up, we used to laugh and talk and get mad about how we had to go to church all the time, not understanding that there was going to be a day coming that we were going to need that. We used to sit here, the old saints say, there's going to come a time you wish that the world, everybody was going to church, and not believing it, but I've lived to see that that time is upon us now, that we are living in that time, you know. So I'm going to hold that to come back to it later and just say if anyone else on the line would like to speak into Minister Stanley's life to encourage him of what he needs to do or that he can help do, because I know that he's dealing with some stuff in our family that he needs to speak to these children that's out here, but he doesn't really know how to do it. So is there anyone on the line tonight that can speak into his life with encouragement? The lines are open.
Good evening again. This is Sheila, and all I want to say is that I thank the Lord for Brother Stan. I thank him for even talking on the subject, for even wanting to do anything, to say anything, to help the children, family, and outside the family. I believe what he's saying, because I see so many of them. I can want to say something, but I said, Lord, I know they probably wouldn't understand, and they probably take it the right way. All I can say is just maybe ask them, you know, if you can have a word with them. But some of them, I even ask, do you know anything about the Father? I don't mean your birth father, the main birth father of your life. So many, like you said, so many kids out here don't know nothing about the Bible. You ask them about anything have to do with God or the Father, some of them look you upside the head like, what, I ain't got time for that, not knowing that's the time that they should have. I don't have any suggestions. All I just can say is that we can pray harder. Maybe far as a man, it would be better to walk up to another man. Even, I can say, I tried with young ladies. They don't want to hear it, but all I can do is just, I thank you for trying. I thank you for even suggesting it. I even thank you for even having an idea, but all I can say is that I do. It's just when I see them, I say, Lord, could you please bless them, or maybe even show me or tell me what I could say to them that they might can understand. But yet I understand we have to start with our in-house family. And I preach it day by day to my granddaughters, sons. They listen, but the thing it is, you just want to dig it in and plug it in, translate it, put a transformer or something in them. But all I can do is just suggest that we all can do is just pray, and maybe try a little harder, and maybe sit down and have a little discussion time. You know, maybe that can help, maybe that can work, and all I can pray is that it will grab a hold to them and put a little knowledge that the street ain't the right way to go. But I thank you, Brother Stan. I thank you, and I thank you.
Thank you for your words of encouragement. Is there anyone else that would like to speak or say anything to encourage Brother Stan?
Yes, Brandon.
Well,
I'm
up. Go ahead, Minister Brandon.
Only thing I'll add is, you know, just I'm remind us, just, you know, keep praying. Faith behind our prayer, too, because sometimes just the way we talk about kids doesn't really speak life to them. You know, I definitely agree with everything that Stanley was saying, that, you know, that they need guidance. And a lot of times, you know, these boys are looking for approval from something they've never had, which is a father. And
Yes.
God, to show us how can I love them? You know, how can I love that frustration that they have out of them? And you know, like, Lord, help me to guide them, because a lot of times we think, you know, hey, if we talk hard to them. If we rough them up, it's like they get roughed up by police officers and all this other stuff. Roughing them up ain't gonna change a thing. It's that love of God that's really gonna permeate their heart and asking God how to listen because you know we don't have all the answers, but God does, and I'm very hopeful for what He's gonna do through a lot of these young men. You know, if we just you know just humble ourselves and pray.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Minister Brandon, for those words. Apostle Elect, you were waiting to speak.
Yes. I would like to just first of all start off by saying I commend you for having a heart to want to. Many people, as Minister Kaiser was talking about earlier, and even Minister Sheila, a lot of people talk about stuff. A lot of people will, they have this saying that some of the greatest ideas and some of the richest ideas are in the cemetery.
Yes.
They never came to life. That's a saying, and unfortunately it's true. But one of
yes.
the things that I learned while working with Minister Brandon in the inner city, while we were putting on prayer vigils and we were putting on the various things, they kept growing and growing each year until we left. But one of the things that I knew was a lot of times people can't hear you if they're hungry. A lot of times people can't hear you if they're thirsty. A lot of times people can't hear you if they don't have money. So therefore, some mm-hmm. of the things that we did was we fed them. We did things as far as education to encourage them. And then there was people like a prophetess, Serena Wright, and different people that will come there. And those things that they wanted to do were the things that we had there for them so that they could learn how to dance. They could learn how to do praise and worship. They could learn how to pray. They could learn how to do math and things of that sort. So a lot of times we can't always go at them immediately with the word, but we can go out there and teach them how to fish instead of just bring them fish. And so with you having the experience that you have and the knowledge that you have, you will definitely be able to draw them and to help them stay out of some of the things that will get them in trouble. But first, I would like for you to pray about feed them. If they're musty, it's not. Don't talk about it. Get them some soap and some water. If they're wearing the same underwear, you give them those underwear. And so a lot of times people don't realize you can do it out of your own money, but guess what? If you write up a letter on letterhead, on stationery, and you send it over to Panera, they'll not only sometimes give you the food for your event, sometimes they'll give you various gift cards. I did it. Panera, Walmart, all of the places that are there, it's like you may end up sending out 30 letters and you may only get 10 or 15 responses, but guess what? You'll get them. And so then even sometimes I did use my own money to do a lot of things, but I also learned to let people sponsor me, and those businesses will sponsor you. So, Sam, if you have that vision, get that stationery, get that letterhead, put it together, and all you got to do is change the name, and you mail it to them. Sometimes you just call them, and they'll say, well, you come by, my boss or manager will be here on such and such day. And you go there, and you take it over to them, and sometimes they'll say, okay, come back in 2 weeks. So then if you give them at least 30 days to respond to you, you may not have it in your pocket, but guess what? God told us that fish, that shell, all of those things that we need, he'll put it in that fish's mouth. He'll put it in that shell. He'll put the things there for us. So as you feed those that are hungry and as you encourage the heart of those that have been beat down and tore down, and as you pour into the men then women will begin to bond with you, even if it's Minister Sylvia, myself, or Sheila, and even Minister Brandon, to teach them how to do math and teach them how to do finance, and people like Pastor Jones with the different things that she does with the daycare. There's so many people that are right around you that can help you with the vision that God has placed on your heart and then help you with the tools to get it done.
Yes.
That's all I have.
Thank you.
Thank you, Minister. I'm sorry. Thank you, Apostle Elect Cecilia. I would like to also say to Stan, a lot of times when you, what I found out because of the life I have led, that when I talk to people, I watch their body movement before I talk to them, and then I watch their body movement once I begin to talk to them. And a lot of times what people fail to do is understand you can't talk at a person. You got to talk to a person. You can't talk like I'm just telling you something you need to know. You have to be able to let them know you're talking to them because you have experience. You have lived that life. You have dealt with them things. I'm going to use my son, for example. I remember one time a family member couldn't wait to tell him something about me. And they did it with the eagerness and the excitement and the hoping that it would hurt me that he knew or that someone had told him. So he had once asked me, "Mama, have you ever been in trouble? Have this ever happened, that ever happened?" And I looked him in his eyes and I looked him in his face and I said, "Yes. Matter of fact, let me show you the paperwork." And he looked at me and I began to talk to him. And I began to tell him that it was once a point in time in my life I lived because it was about me, myself, and I. I never had children. I didn't have a desire to have kids. I said, but once I became pregnant with you, I said to God, "God, not only give me the heart to want to be his mother, but give me the desire to want to be his mother." And I was able to tell my son that I was sorry to him because of the previous life I had led that got me into trouble, where I couldn't go to school and get this type of license or degree because of my background. And when I told him that, I said, "If there's anything you ever want to know about me, ask me, because I'm not going to let anybody tell you nothing, and I especially don't want nobody trying to tell you nothing about me when I'm dead and gone." I said, "So whatever questions you have, ask me." And by me being able to be honest with my son and tell him those things, and I was able to say to him was that I was sorry because of the life I lived that caused me to suffer the consequences that I did, that caused him to be in the predicament that he was, because we couldn't live the life that I wanted to really live and pertain to give him. It was able to allow me to raise him in a way that I said, "I got your back. I prefer that you write, because if you do things a certain way, these are the consequences of the actions that's going to come behind what you do." So with me saying all that, that gave us a relationship that I was able to talk to him and say, "Baby, don't do this, don't do that. Because doing this," because they young. These young kids can't see tomorrow or next week or next month, because they're living for today. Like Apostle Isaac said, if I'm hungry and I'm thirsty, I can't hear or see you. If I'm hungry and I'm thirsty, I don't see anything or hear anything you said, because I'm looking at those shoes you got on your feet compared to the shoes on my feet, because they may be too small. I'm looking at the clothes you're wearing, and I'm looking at the clothes I'm wearing, because I may have had them on a couple of days. But if you could go to a person and say, "Look, I know where you at, because, see, I was there one time, or I was there a little while ago, but until I started depending on God and trusting God to move me from one place to another," and like you say, and when you talk to them, take them to get a sandwich. Can't nobody hear what you're saying to them on an empty stomach. Mm-hmm. Can't nobody hear what you're saying, and they're standing there and they're thirsty. I remember when I was in the world, I had to, I know my sister, Apostle Elect, remember, we used to get school buses and go on little trips and take the kids to old Chicago, and we would take the kids to Now, Riverview, we was that was younger for us. We would go to Old Chicago. We would go skating, and we would go to Great America. We would do trips. We would tell the family, send such and such money. But it was so if you pay for so many get in free. And the kids we knew that didn't have the money, we would get them in free. I remember when Pastor Hannah first started doing his youth conventions and here in Chicago, and I would get the kids in the neighborhood together and tell everybody put on blue jeans and a white T-shirt. Well, I started out with telling the five kids I was going to take them to the youth conference, and then it started getting around the neighborhood. And the parents, Stan, you remember this, this is when we first started dating. And the parents started bringing their kids down to my house. I went from five kids to 55 kids. Everybody was in blue jeans, and everybody had on white T-shirts and a book bag on their back with a Lunchable in it. The man at the corner store gave me free meat and juices and bread and potato chips and cupcakes and all kind of stuff to take these kids downtown. And the guys in the neighborhood, I'm talking about the drug addicts, the wine heads, when they saw what I was doing with these kids, they walked over to the L station and started letting the kids go through the turnstile using their bus pass. So when you want to do something for kids, you have to be able to go to them honestly, because one thing kids going to know, if you talking to them or talking at them. So a lot of times, it's kids that I see, I always say, God, why I always get the rebellious kids and the hard-head kids? And I had to start laughing because God's saying, just like he said to David, to the, what's his name, Nathan, you are the man. God gave me them kids because he gave me kids that I could communicate to because I was just like them. I always say I was my mom's best child, but I was my mom's child that stayed in trouble.
Worst child.
Don't say worst child. I wasn't the worst child. We're having a little conversation on the side. But I was my mom's child that was eager to learn. I'll put it like that. So, I'm just going to say in this. When you want to do something, when it comes to the kids with their pants down, Minister Stan, you said it earlier, the men trying to look young. So if your pants is hanging and you don't have a belt on and you got your baseball cap turned to the side and you standing out there with them day and night trying to talk cool, how can I talk to you when you try to act like I'm acting? Mm-hmm. I remember my mom said it years ago, and my dad said it also. When we were kids, we wanted to be grown, but then when I got grown, we wanted to be a kid. So when society has it messed up and mixed up, you can't talk to kids. You have to let kids see you the way you live. You have to pull them to the side. I remember when we were younger, we used to take kids to the store and buy them gym shoes or ask them what size shoes they wear. And it was a shame sometimes we saw the kids pull their shoes off and they won't try to wear shoes to make their feet look small, where their toes was curled up back up under their feet because they wore shoes so small all the time. A lot of them, it wasn't because they wanted to. It's because they had no other choice. So I thank him for speaking on that and revealing his heart to us. And I'm going to try to work with him to let him know that our ministry starts at home. It starts within our family first, you know, because I say a lot of times to my family, and I put it on Facebook today, don't always think I'm trying to put you down. Don't always think I'm trying to judge you, because when I look at you, I see victory. When I look at you, I see success. When I look at you, I see you in a place that you should have been a long time ago. When I see you and I look at you, I see that you should want more. I don't think I'm better than anybody. I think it's a better situation that we both can live in. So a lot of times I don't say anything because I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. You know, and a lot of times when you are a straightforward person, people misjudge you because I don't want to sugarcoat it. I've heard people say all the time, I'd rather for you to tell me to my face. But they just say it because it sounds good, because when you do tell them to their face, Apostle Alexis knows what I'm talking about, they will say that you're judging them. And that's not what it is. I'm trying to pull you out. I'm not trying to push you down. I'm trying to pull you up because I'm not trying to put you down. So on that note, we're going to say Oh, tonight we're going to have our prayer that we're going to pray for each and every one of us to do what God has appointed us to do, to teach us how to be what we need to be in the people's lives that we come in contact with. Instead of trying to talk to a person in a group, because he or she's going to always try to defend themselves or try to look big and bad in front of their friends because they don't want to look like, as they say, a punk. We're going to always try to ask God to lead us and guide us and to teach us what to say. We don't want to offend anybody when we're trying to greet them and teach them. Like he was saying earlier, Apostle Elect, I can't pour God into you when they want to use the excuse, well, why does God let me live like this instead of knowing, like Minister Stan was saying earlier, what does Matthew 7:7 say, Ms. Sally Wright?
Ask, and it shall be given to you.
So when they're saying, well, I ask, when a lot of them don't know that God sent me to you or sent him to you to let you know that there is a way out. I didn't send anybody to you that haven't walked this walk, that haven't lived this life. A lot of us say we want ministry, but we want to tell God the ministry we want, and that may not be the ministry that God has given you. He may have given some where they can stand on the mountaintop, and may have given some that they have to stand at the bottom of the mountain and say, this is the way. Come on this way. This is the way. So, Minister Brandon, I'm going to ask you to pray us out on tonight. I'm going to ask Apostle Elect Cecilia to touch and agree with the prayer and finish the prayer off. And we're going to say thank you all for listening on and just say, God, just do with the ministry what you've got to do, you're going to do, you need to do to help us get to the next stage of pulling the body of Christ together. Minister Brandon, are you ready to pray? Okay, Apostle Elect, I don't know if he's able to hear me or in the position at the time, but are you ready to pray, Apostle Elect Cecilia Kaiser?
Yes, I can.
Thank you so much.
First, I wanted to make sure Minister Stanley didn't have anything else he wanted to add with his words of wisdom or giving us the things that God has given him before I pray.
No, that's all I had to say for tonight, but hopefully and next time I have a lot more to say.
Okay. Father God, we glorify you and we magnify you. God, we thank you that we know that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We thank you that your word reminds us that we are to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. God, you'll add unto us wisdom. You'll add unto us blessings. God, you'll add unto us the resources needed for the vision. We thank you for Minister Stanley writing the vision and making it plain. And we thank you, Father, for bringing the resources from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And, God, we thank you that even when the resources come, God, that you'll also bring him the desire to always say yes. Yes to your will. Yes to your way. Yes to your word. God, we thank you for your yoke-destroying anointing that you will place not only on Minister Brandon's life and Minister Stanley's life and Minister Sylvia's life, but, God, for everyone that unites with them in order to save a nation. And as we save the nation of the Kaiser family, as we save the nation of the Seabury family, as we save the nation of the Wright family, God, as we save the nation of Jerusalem that's in our home, God, teach us, God, teach us how to do it and teach us how to do it right, God. God, teach us how to present to the people the God of God, and that's you, God. You're Adonai. You're Jehovah Rapha. You're Jehovah Shalom. God, teach us how to introduce you to the people, God, so that they want to serve you, so that they want to worship you. For the Father seeks us to worship him, for they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So, God, we thank you for your spirit. We thank you for your yoke-destroying anointing. We thank you for your love. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the power in the name of Jesus. We thank you that you watch over your word and that your word should not return unto you void, but it shall accomplish that for which you sent it. And we ask you, God, on tonight to bless Minister Brandon, to bless Minister Stanley, God, for they poured out on tonight, and they poured out on their own free will, God. And we thank you, God, for giving us men that will speak your word, teach your word, and stand on your word with their own free will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen, amen. God, we thank you for another Monday night. We thank you for a Monday night, God, that you have given Blog Talk. We just thank you, Lord, for us not being like other talk shows and ministry shows, and that, God, we're not able to reach the people. We thank you that that's not what you have given us. We thank you for giving us the ability to talk and just bring the ministry to the people raw and not letting us be a traditional ministry. I thank you, God, for cutting the tradition out, but at the same time keeping a tradition going that says that God is the answer and the way to the Father is through the Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you again, people, for listening in, for the saints and for the ain'ts that's on the line, that's not yet saved, but asking God to give them a heart and a mind and a desire to want to be saved. We're asking you all to call back next Monday for Monday Night Blog Talk Ministry with Iron Sharpening Iron through Smile 3E. Don't forget, every Friday you can call in and speak and listen to Elder Kathy Kendall at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, with her talking about God Still Heals. And to call in every Sunday morning at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, with our own Apostle Alexis Celia Kaiser and Minister Brandon Kaiser with Let's Talk. I want to ask you all to keep Apostle Sandra Thomas in your prayers and to keep every minister that is on the Blog Talk program in your prayers. I'm asking you to just pray and ask God to send everyone that's appointed, anointed, and assigned to this ministry. Fourth, I want to say to you, don't forget our foundational scripture, which is in Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So on that note, people, I want to say I love you with the love of the Lord, and there's nothing you can do about it. Keep Apostle Cecilia Kaiser into your prayers. Ask God to continually bless her. She's asking God for a new position. Ask God to send her where he wants her to be and let the atmosphere already be set to receive the apostle that is coming to be blessed and want to work with her and to give her everything her heart desires, because God has told her if she be grateful over a few things, he'll make her rule over many. And she's been faithful to this ministry that God has appointed through her. I'm asking you all to just keep her in your prayers and just keep her on the top of your prayer list. And to please keep Minister Stanley Wright in your prayers and just ask God to send everything and everybody to him that he needs to go through and to just open the door that I prayed a prayer for God for that ministry to be set forth in his hands for to be the father to the fatherless, the brother to the brotherless, and to be the man of God that God has called him to be. And I'm asking you to ask God to even bless Minister Brandon Kaiser, that wherever God takes him and whatever God has him appointed to do, not only do he do it with his whole heart, but to keep him covered under the blood of God and under the blood of Jesus, that no harm, no evil, danger, death will cross him in any means or way necessary. So keep this ministry in your line of prayer and in your life with prayer. Keep it going. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right, good night, and it's nothing you can do about me loving you with the love of the Lord.